song of invitation following our lesson this morning. It's good to see everyone here. It's a beautiful day. And one of the things that makes it so beautiful, of course, and the main thing that makes it so beautiful is that God has presented us with an opportunity to come together and to praise Him in song as we have this morning, to commemorate the sacrifice that God has made for us, that Jesus Christ gave for us, and an opportunity to lift up our hearts in prayer and open our minds to the things of God. As we consider this morning a very important lesson that we find again in the book of Matthew and the 6th chapter, I want to invite you to take your Bibles there and turn with me. We're going to begin our study in verse 19 in just a moment. Thank you so very much for being here. We do have several visitors with us this morning. And if there are things that you may question, anything that you have on your mind that you would like to talk with us about, feel free to get a hold of me after services or one of the elders here or one of the men, and we'll be glad to see if we can answer your questions from the Bible and perhaps even sit down and study with you and help all of us come to a better understanding of the Word of God. I hope that everyone that's present this morning will be built up, will be edified. I hope that everyone also will be encouraged and uplifted. I know that the services so far have certainly been that. Where is your heart, your focus, and your loyalty? Remember here in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is striking at the heart of hypocrisy. We've already talked about pride and arrogance and the problems that that can cause in reference to our good deeds, our charity, in reference to our prayer, our worship, and fasting. Even in our controlling of ourselves, we need to make sure that we're doing those things for the right reason, that our motives are indeed genuine and pure. Today we're going to now turn our attention to the other problem that Jesus deals with in Matthew chapter 6, and that is the problem of the world. The world can have a negative effect on our priorities, upon our faith. It can stunt our spiritual growth, our life, and can destroy us. Covetousness, greed, desiring things of this world, and even things that are good and wholesome in and of themselves, if we place our love upon those things, our concerns, our sympathies, our cares, then our heart can become divided and drawn away from the Lord. And of course, as we'll see in a further study, we can worry. It'll turn us to worry. In fact, worry is a product of doubt, not faith. Either way, whether it be through pride or arrogance or worldliness, we forfeit any reward from God. I hope that we understand that. So as we turn our attention to our study this morning, I want to ask you this simple question. Where is your heart, your focus, and your loyalty? Where does it really lie? Where are your affections, your concerns? Where are your desires, your goals? What are those? Where is your loyalty? Well, Jesus answers that question for us, and it's really a very easy answer to the question. Wherever your treasure really is, that's where your heart will be also. That's where your focus in life will be. That is where your loyalties truly lie. There's no way around that. Wherever your treasure really is. Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and man. Well, we need to learn that lesson, don't we? We can't serve both God and the things of this world. We cannot serve both God and ourselves. We have to choose. Our treasure, that is, whatever our priorities are in life, whatever we value in this world, whatever it is that we value in our life, there's our treasure. Where are your priorities? I'll suggest to you that wherever your priorities are, whatever it is that you value, that's where your heart's going to be. That's what Jesus says. That's where your love, that's where your affection, and that's where your values are going to be placed. That's what you're going to be focused on in life, the I. That is where your dreams and your goals are going to be centered. Your service. Whatever your values and your priorities are, well, that's where your service is going to center. Your loyalty, your commitment, and your devotion will be to that. Whatever your treasure is. Where's your heart? Where's your focus? And where's your loyalty? Now, who is it that determines what our treasure is? Who is that? I want to suggest to your friend, you choose for yourself where your treasure lies. You decide what's valuable to you. You can choose this morning. If your values in the past have been the things of this world, you can make the choice and the decision this morning to redirect your values. To stop valuing the things of this world and begin to value the things that are spiritual. You can make that choice. It is up to you. God wants you to value the things that are spiritual over things that are material. And there's a good reason for that. The things that are material are temporary. They will not last. So are the things you value most? I want you to answer honestly this question. Are the things you value most material and temporary? Or are the things that you value most spiritual and eternal? Answer honestly. Where are your treasures, really? Do you treasure possessions, pleasure, glory, self-interest, or other people more than you do the things of God? Where is your focus? Where is your commitment and your loyalty? Where is your heart? Is it upon things of this world, pleasures of this world, glory that men may bestow upon you, upon your own selfish interest or other people? Are those things more important to you than the things of God? Well, Jesus tells us, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. And again, as we pointed out previously, this is not a prohibition of having bank accounts or the mere possession of material things. Jesus is not saying we cannot have material things. These material things were given to us by God for our use. The real issue is, what do we do with the things we have been blessed with? Where are our concerns? Where are our priorities in life? Jesus is not addressing how many material things we have or the things that we cannot have, but rather the attitude that we have toward things, towards our stuff, towards our stuff. Do we lay up for ourselves treasures on the earth? Our treasure is that, again, which we value most, which we seek the most, which we desire the most. When the Lord's Day comes around, are there things on television that you had rather watch? Is there something other that you had rather do than worship the Lord? Where are your priorities? Had you rather read a secular book than you had read God's book? Where are your treasures? What do you value the most? Lying before each of us is the choice between earth and heaven, between the physical things of this world and spiritual life and spiritual things, between flesh and spirit, between temporal and eternal. We have to make choices every day. Which do we place at the highest priority in life? We will and must choose. Now, let me suggest to you that if you do not choose God, you do not choose the things of God, the things that are spiritual and the things that are eternal, then you by default choose the things of this world. You will choose. You have already made choices along these lines. Have you made the right choice? The wise choice? We will and we must choose. And we must choose today. We must choose every day. John writes in 1 John 2 and verse 15, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but is of the world." Now, listen to verse 17 very carefully. Listen to it. "And the world is passing away, and the lust of it." What's going to happen to everything in this world? What's going to happen to your desires? All your fleshly desires, the things that you may value in this world, things that are material in nature. What's going to happen to all those things? "But he who does the will of God abides forever." What a contrast. So when we make this choice, we are actually choosing between destruction and everlasting life. We're making the choice between hell or heaven. It's our choice. James says in James 4 and verse 4, "Adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants, desires to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." We make that choice. If we choose the things of this world as being our priority in life, then we make ourselves an enemy of God. That's our choice. So we're choosing between being an enemy of God, and we know what happens to the enemies of God. They'll be destroyed and condemned. Or we can make ourselves a friend of God by submitting to His will and putting Him first in our life. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 21, Jesus said to him, now there was this rich young ruler who came to Jesus and asked Him this very important question, the most important question that can be asked. "What shall I do that I may have eternal life?" That's the question. Jesus said, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow Me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. My friend, where were his priorities? What did he value most? Heaven or hell? Spiritual or fleshly? Material? Eternal or temporary? He placed his values in the wrong place. And there are many people today just like that rich young ruler. We live in an affluent society. We have more money, more wealth than any other country in the world, any other people in the world, in fact, than in the history of the world. Wealth is a distraction to spirituality. Now, Jesus again is not teaching us that we cannot possess things. But our values, our priorities must be in the right place. We must focus on the spiritual instead of the material. In Luke, the 12th chapter, which was read earlier, and He said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Then He spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool.'" Listen carefully. You've got a choice to make. Material or spiritual. Worldly or the things of God. You make the choice for the world. What are you? I know what God says that you are. But I want you to recognize what you are. I want you to think about it. What are you trading? What are you giving up? If you choose the things of this world, what are you giving up? In the overall scheme of things, I mean, you may live to be 100 years old. But you know, by the time you get to be 60, you cannot enjoy as many things as you could when you were 20. Well, there are some things that you can even enjoy more. But there are different kinds of things. As you get 70 and 80, 90, the body continues to wear down. Boy, in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, he defines getting old very well. That's why we need to serve God in our youth. We need to make that choice early in life. But now, you make a choice for the things of this world. You're not going to live much longer than 100 years old. Nobody here. Compare that to eternity. Compare. Think about it. Eternal existence with God. You trade that for eternal existence in hell. What kind of trade is that? And a person who chooses hell, is that wise? God said to him, "Who? This night your soul will be required of you." Friend, you don't know how much longer you have. "Then whose will those things be which you have provided? You can't take it with you when you go." So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 15 says, "As he came from his mother's womb, naked shall he return. To go as he came, and he shall take nothing from his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a severe evil. Just exactly as he came, so he shall go. And what profit has he who has labored for the wind?" You labor for the things of this world. You're laboring for the wind. Things that will not last. Do not lay up for yourself treasures in this world, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Paul says in Colossians 3 and verse 1, "If then you were raised with Christ..." Now that's the first thing. We need to be in Christ. We need to, by faith, be baptized into Him and be raised with Him. And we need to live for Him. If you are a Christian, seek those things above. Now, if you're not a Christian, you need to seek those things that are above as well. Okay? But those who are Christians, they have made that commitment. So they certainly, most definitely, need to focus their attention on the things that are spiritual. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind, friend, that's your heart. Set your mind, your heart, on things above, not on things on the earth. We make that choice. We need to choose the things which nourish us spiritually. Things that help produce spiritual growth. The world can choke that growth. Matthew chapter 13 in the parable of the sower. That's what the world did to the seed there. That plant that came up out of that seed. The world choked it. That it became unfruitful. That's what the world can do. But we need to focus our attention and we need to give our heart and be committed to growing spiritually. That means we must set our priorities in the spiritual things. Bible reading and study. We need to read our Bibles. We need to read our Bibles daily. We need to not only read, but we need to study. We need to attend worship services. But not just attend, we need to wholeheartedly participate. We need to participate in the worship, in the prayers, and in the singing, partaking of the Lord's Supper, and even in the sermons. We need to listen. We need to take notes. We need to learn. Pray. We need to praise God, and we need to be thankful for the many blessings that He's given to us, especially our spiritual blessings. We need to set up our treasures in heaven. We need to focus on things that are spiritual, serving and laboring in the kingdom, turning our attention to doing those things that are spiritual will help us to grow. Associating with spiritually minded people. We need to associate with people who will help us get to heaven. We need to make investments. Now, you can make investments financially. And you may lose those investments. But I'll tell you an investment that you will not lose, and that is to lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. In 1 Peter chapter 1, in 1 Peter, the first chapter, the apostle there emphasizes our need to make these investments. If you look down, in fact, beginning in verse 13, in 1 Peter, that should be chapter 1, verse 13, "Therefore gird up the loins of your mind." What does that mean? That means to take control of our mind and focus it. Get control of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. That is to think reasonably. Be sober. I know alcohol and drugs, those things will destroy your mind and they will destroy your thoughts. But that's not the main point here. The idea is to think rightly, soberly, in accordance with God's Word. And rest your hope fully upon Him. Upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We need to trust the Lord and we need to realize that what He has said is in fact the truth. We then need to obey. In verse 14, "As obedient children, not conforming ourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct." He who called you is holy, is holy. Verse 16, "Because it is written, be holy for I am holy, and if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear." Fear God. And realize you're going to stand before Him one day and give an account for how you've lived. In verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, but from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, your conduct before being redeemed by the blood of Christ was aimless. People who are living in this world, they're actually living an aimless life. What are their goals? What are their aspirations? Well, stuff, power, control, and pleasure. We need to aim towards things that are higher and nobler and eternal. So, we need to invest in what will last. Get control of your mind. Think according to the things of God. Trust God. Obey God. Live a holy life. Fear God. And get a goal that is spiritual. Get the goal that God has set before us. Let's take up our cross and follow the Lord. Where your treasure is, Jesus says, there your heart will be also. Now, Jesus talks about these treasures that are in the world that moth eats, rust destroys, thieves break in and steal. Oh, they can't touch the treasures that you lay up in heaven. But where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In Proverbs, the 4th chapter, in verse 23, the proverb writer, in fact, not only the concept of our heart and controlling our heart, where he very clearly says that we're to keep our heart with all diligence, but he also emphasizes the need to incline our ear to his words, verse 20. Do not let them depart from your eyes and keep them in the midst of your heart. You take in the word of God. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. So keep your heart with all diligence. We must learn and we must determine to cherish the things that are spiritual, the things of heaven, the things that have to do with our spiritual relationship with God and with one another, and our duties and our responsibilities before God and with one another. We must keep our heart with all diligence. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So we make the choice. If we truly treasure spiritual things, our affections, our concerns, our efforts, our time will be devoted to those things. Wherever our treasure is, that's where our heart will be. Where is your heart? Where is your heart? You know, in Mark, the 12th chapter, in verse 29, Jesus says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. For this is the first and great commandment." That's what Jesus is saying here. We must treasure, we must value God above all else. That's what the word love means. Where is your heart? Jesus then says, if your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. The eye, being connected to the body, is compared to one's life-controlling perspective on the heart. Our attitude, our values control what goes into our heart. And so what we need to do is focus on bringing things into our heart that are of God, just like back in Proverbs chapter 4. We need to take God's Word in. In fact, going back to Proverbs chapter 4, he goes on and says in verse 25, "Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil." We need to focus where we're going. We need to focus on the things of God. A heart that is single. My mom always told me I had a one-track mind. Well, in this area, that's a good idea to have a one-track mind. Be focused on the things of God. We need to put blinders on, if you will. A heart that is single and focused upon spiritual things provides clarity, wholeness, and faith. Faith will be strengthened day by day by day because you're constantly focused on the things of God. You're going to be learning. You're going to be growing. Righteousness and hope. The eye, the spiritual eye, if it is clouded, if we keep looking here and there and our focus is diverted from one thing to another, things that are material, our heart is divided. Confusion, doubt, lack of commitment is produced. Paul Earnhardt says, too many have their spiritual vision clouded by an unhealthy preoccupation with things. I think he's right. Too many do. What about me? What about you? Our primary intake must supplement our greatest need. What is our greatest need? Our greatest need is a right relationship with God. That's it. We need to be right with God. Now, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So what we need is to have that relationship restored. And there's only one way to do that. And that's through submitting to Jesus Christ in humble, faithful obedience to His will. And diverting our attention, concentrating our attention upon that, upon Him. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. God's power to save man is the gospel. Our time, our energy, our effort should be focused upon establishing and strengthening, solidifying our relationship with God. That should be our priority in life. That should be our focus in life. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Where do you have your eye? Upon what are you focused? You know, too many have their eyes focused, have their hearts set on things that are temporary, upon their possessions, upon their pleasures, or upon their glory, material, worldly, vain glory, upon their own self-interest, upon other people, from a physical, carnal, selfish standpoint. Where is your focus? Are you focused upon things that are eternal? Now, let me take each one of these things that I just mentioned. All these things that are temporary. And we often connect bad things when we think of possessions and pleasure and glory and self-interest and other people. That is self-glory. But when you think of possessions, what has God given us? How many blessings has He given us? Every good and perfect gift comes from God, from the Father of lives. Of course, the spiritual blessings we have in Christ, Ephesians 1 and verse 3, are found in Him. All spiritual blessings are in Him. Redemption, adoption, forgiveness of our sins, that right relationship with God. That's what we have in Christ. Are those the kind of possessions that you have your mind focused upon? Or pleasure. Pleasure. My friend, pleasure is not wrong in and of itself. God has given us many things in which we can take pleasure. Do you take pleasure in serving and worshiping God? In studying His Word? Do you take pleasure in doing that which is right, no matter the cost? Do you take pleasure in pleasing the Lord? Is that your desire? Or in glory? Listen, it's not about what some man can heap upon me. I'm concerned about being right with God. I'm concerned about what He is going to provide me in eternity. That is through humility, by me submitting to Him, I will be exalted. Those who exalt themselves will be abased. But he who humbles himself will be exalted. I want to be honored by God and not men. And self-interest. Self-interest. Look, I can't save anyone if I don't first seek to save my own soul through submitting to God's will. My soul, what shall it profit me if I should gain the whole world and lose my own soul? My friend, listen, when I truly think about my soul and its value, and I do that which is eternally beneficial to my soul, then I am truly looking out for my best interest. Any other interest that we may seek that is worldly, material, it's all vanity. For other people. What about their soul? Seeking to save those who are lost. Get and stay focused, my friend, on the things that will last. You might save someone from a drug habit. And you may help them get a good job. You may save them from some terrible worldly existence. My friend, if you don't save their soul, what good have you really done? If you don't lead them to Jesus, what good have you really done? You cannot serve both God and mammon. We need to get this fixed in our head, in our heart. This is a call to complete, absolute commitment, total allegiance to Jesus Christ. When we make the confession, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, I am pledging my allegiance to Him. And God demands not just your all. He demands all of you. He wants all of you. When we give our hearts fully to Him, then everything else is going to fall in place. Just like those Macedonians in 2 Corinthians 8 verse 5. They gave themselves to the apostles and to those who were in need in Judea. They gave themselves, yes, but they had first given themselves to the Lord. This was the rich young ruler's problem. He was not willing to give himself wholly, without reservation, to the Lord. There was something in this world he did not want to let go of. And what God demands is everything in this world we be willing to let go of for Him. God doesn't just want your all. He wants all of you. In 1 Kings 18 and verse 21, Elijah asked those Jews gathered there on Mount Carmel. The 450 prophets of Baal was there, and Elijah says, "How long will you falter between two opinions?" Now see, they were on one hand trying to worship God. They would offer the sacrifices to Him from time to time. They didn't do it according to the law, but they still gave reference to God. And on the other hand, they also worshiped Baal. Why halter? How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. Well, my friend, I want to tell you, the Lord is God. And you need to follow Him. And it'll be worth everything you have to follow Him. Total rebellion is not necessary to forfeit heaven. Divided loyalty does that for you. We must be loyal in every circumstance. You know, Peter, he committed himself to being loyal to the Lord. In fact, he promised the Lord that he would never deny Him. But we know what happened. He did. And we all stumble from time to time. We let our loyalty lax. But what should we do about that? Well, we need to recommit ourselves, don't we? We need to get up off the mat and we need to get back to where we ought to be. And no matter what the circumstance, we need to be committed to being loyal to the Lord. What do you think about those Christians who were suffering? I mean, Stephen, as he was hauled out of the city to be stoned to death, Was he still loyal to the Lord? Absolutely. As he looked up into heaven, he said, "Lord, receive my spirit." Whether we're suffering, whether we're being persecuted, or whether we're being tempted. Listen, it's not about even how many people know about the sin that you're committing. The question is, what does God know? Well, He knows. Being loyal to Him and having good character is not determined by how many people know about it. We are loyal even when no one else is looking. Results of divided loyalty. I mean, if we are not truly loyal to the Lord, we'll be spiritual dwarfs. We'll be filled with worry, doubt, and fear. We'll have broken relationships because we're not following the Lord's instructions. And people spot hypocrites very easily. Stuff that in the overall scheme of things has no value. We may get a lot of stuff, but we'll lose it all. We will forfeit any reward from God. So I ask you again, where is your heart? Where is your focus? Where is your loyalty right now? Well, wherever your treasure is, what do you treasure most? Maybe you realize this morning that you have been valuing the wrong thing. Change your priorities. Redirect your values to the things of God right now. You make that choice. You choose where your values will lie. If your treasure is truly in heaven, I want you to think about this point. Whatever happens in this life, whatever may come your way, you will not be devastated. I'm not saying you won't be hurt. I'm not saying it will be easy, that you won't suffer. What I'm saying is it will not destroy you if your treasure is in heaven. Set your treasure where it ought to be. You know, in Matthew chapter 7, a little later, and we'll study this, you had two men. You had a wise man and a foolish man. The wise man built his house on the rock. Who's the rock? That's Jesus. And that's the commands of Jesus. He did what the Lord said. And when the storm came, what happened to that man? He persevered. But what about the foolish man who built his house on the sand? My friend, that's what worldliness is. It's nothing but sand. It will not last. And you build your life on the things of this world. And the day is going to come when you'll be destroyed and everything you have will be destroyed. If your treasure is truly in heaven, you will live with God forever. Now that's what I call true success. What do you think? Temporary or eternal? Where is your treasure? Where is it? Things of this world? Have you made serving the Lord your number one priority in this life? Have you truly put spiritual things first? Direct your heart towards the things of God right now. Love. Learn to love the things that are spiritual. Zero your focus in on the things that are spiritual and the things that will help you to grow spiritually, and determine to be a loyal citizen of the kingdom of heaven under every circumstance. Because one day your life on this earth will come to an end. One day. No question about that. One day. And you will either regret where you placed your priorities in this life, or you will be happy about where you placed your priorities in life. And you'll either regret your decision or be happy about your decision for all eternity. What about you? If your life ended today, if the Lord came back today, which would it be for you? Which would it be? Would you go through eternity regretting where you placed your priorities and your values in life? Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow the Lord. Because as Jesus says, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give
in exchange for his soul.
What a ridiculous trade it is to choose the worldly, the temporary, over the spiritual and eternal. If you're here this morning, you need to obey the gospel. Let that be known. We'll help you. If you're here this morning, you're a Christian, but you need to make things right with God. You take care of that in whatever need necessary. As together, we stand and sing. Have you been?